This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Homeowners with crumbling foundations in Connecticut are a step closer to getting some federal tax relief. New York State will help pay for several storm damage-related projects on Long Island. Officials warn residents of storm cleanup scams. Plus, we're taking a trip to the tavern where George Washington toasted and the cabinet met. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Connecticut homeowners with crumbling foundations are a step closer to getting some federal tax relief. A key congressional committee has approved a bipartisan bill that includes a provision that would provide the relief. WSHU's Ebong Udama has the details.
Connecticut Representatives John Larson and Joe Courtney were responsible for inserting the provision in the Casualty Loss Deduction Restoration Act that passed unanimously in the House Ways and Means Committee last week. Courtney says it would allow homeowners to use the federal deduction to pay for foundation repairs, which were limited by a 2017 Republican tax law.
We wrote the legislation to reach back from 2026 to 2021 so that nobody gets left out in terms of getting the opportunity to write down these losses.
He says unreimbursed losses related to fixing homes with crumbling foundations can often run to $100,000 or more. The lawmakers want House leadership to swiftly bring the bill forward for a vote on the floor of the House. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul says the state will help pay for several storm damage-related projects on Long Island. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more.
Suffolk County will get almost $30 million to help repair the Blydenburg Dam and Stump Pond, Stony Brook's Harbor Road and the dam underneath it, and a seawall in Asherokan. Hochul delivered ceremonial checks to Suffolk County officials this week at Caleb Smith State Park in Smithtown.
And I know that you do not want to put these costs onto your local taxpayers, and that's what we're here to do, is help out.
Hochul also says she'll appeal the federal government's denial of disaster aid for Long Island following the February blizzard. That storm caused beach erosion and coastal flooding and contributed to expensive losses for the commercial fishing industry. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
As residents recover from the damage caused by severe storms, Connecticut officials warn of common cleanup scams. WSHU's Janice Roman has more.
Towns from across the state are cleaning up damage from flooding, down trees, and property damage. Connecticut Attorney General William Tong and the Department of Consumer Protection say consumers should be aware of scammers and unlicensed contractors. Consumer protection officials say after a major storm, people go door to door and offer to work in exchange for cash. Residents should question contractors who create a sense of urgency or offer to work without a contract. In Connecticut, home improvement contractors must be registered with DCP and provide a written contract. Residents can check for a registration or file complaints at elicense.ct.gov. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
Coming up, we visit a New York tavern that played more than one surprising role during the American Revolution. Stay here.
WSHU and the Westport Writers Workshop invite Connecticut writers to take part in Connecticut Voices, a new storytelling collaboration. The theme is, what haunts you? Start writing, revising, or fine-tuning your story now. Submissions open September 1st. The winning writer will receive $250 and the chance to tell your original story on WSHU. Learn more at WSHU.org.
Almost half of Long Islanders, 47%, are against the construction of large data centers in their communities. That's according to a poll by Newsday and the Siena Research Institute. Tech companies say the centers are necessary to power artificial intelligence. Opponents say they require too much water and electricity, and they're too noisy.
It's more than 2 years since the New London First Congregational Church collapsed. Today, crews broke ground on an apartment building that will stand on the former site. Construction is set to be complete by November 2027. The number of New Yorkers with gambling addiction has increased by at least 46% from 2020 to 2023. That's according to state data. Treatment centers say the increase is due in part to online sports betting. The town of Fairfield will host a public information session on speed cameras next Tuesday, July 14th. It'll be held in the evening at Ward High School. The new automated speed cameras have been a hot topic in the town, with some residents concerned about how their data is being used and stored. Connecticut Republicans say they're happy the Supreme Court has ruled against transgender people playing sports on girls' sports teams. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports they want the state to go further.
Last week, the Supreme Court gave states the green light to pass laws that keep transgender kids off girls' sports teams. State Representative Tracy Mara says Connecticut should be one of those states.
We should really be able to have these conversations. We should be able to have them respectfully. We should be able to have them without name calling, without silence, without deflecting and changing the subject and pretending that, oh, actually the issue is really something else.
However, Connecticut has a Democratic supermajority, so any legislation would need significant Democratic support. That's not likely. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
American revolutionaries liked to frequent a watering hole on the tip of Manhattan Island called France's Tavern. It played more than one surprising role during the American Revolution, and 250 years later, it still serves libations. WSHU's Davis Donovan drops by for a drink for the series Off the Path.
France's Tavern is probably the oldest building in Manhattan, and it looks it. It's tucked into the heart of the financial district, surrounded by gleaming skyscrapers, just a few blocks from Battery Park. Scott Dwyer runs the tavern's museum on its second floor.
Into the 1760s and 70s, as revolution is being discussed and eventually breaks out, the tavern is the place particularly for patriots to come in, discuss the news of the day, and meet sometimes in secret to discuss revolution.
The newly formed Sons of Liberty was the underground movement at the vanguard of the revolution. And they like to hang out at France's Tavern.
As the British continue to occupy and make their presence known and make their presence more uncomfortable for the people of the city, the Sons of Liberty are meeting here in secret and discussing things that are more private in nature. But the people who know that they can come here and have those conversations and make those plans.
And then there were its legendary parties. General George Washington attended two epic parties at France's Tavern. The first was in April of 1776. It was hosted by New York Governor George Clinton.
They're writing in elements of what end up being the Declaration of Independence into this series of toasts.
That's Lisa O'Neill. She's with the museum.
May America be an asylum to the persecuted of the earth, and may a close union of the states guard the temple they've erected to liberty.
Can we do one? Just a huzzah?
Sure.
On the count of three?
Which one do you want to toast?
May justice support what courage has gained.
Huzzah!
Washington came back to France's Tavern for a second time, a farewell to mark the end of the war.
These men are embracing each other, crying in each other's arms, and saying goodbye to each other in a way that, you know, people generally don't think of when they think of Revolutionary War soldiers. But the war is over. People see a future, but they've recognized the cost and the losses of the war and can finally acknowledge that to one another.
New York City was the nation's first capital. The tavern itself also took on a new and unexpected role.
When the Capitol moves to New York at then City Hall, and three offices, which have no room for them up at the street, move into the tavern. First, it's War and Foreign Affairs, and then Treasury moves in subsequently. So all of the federal government is here, 30 people maybe max, all trying to figure out how to govern our new country on the world stage.
So the elephant in the room for me. Are they drinking heavily while they're doing this?
Well, there's still rum coming off the boat. Like, kitty corner to the building.
Yes.
Yeah, it goes without saying anyone in the colonies in the 18th century New York City is drinking heavily by today's standards.
As for Francis Tavern, it went through a few owners in the 19th century. In 1900, it was almost demolished. But it was bought by the Sons of the Revolution, a group founded in the tavern on the 100th anniversary of Washington's famous farewell feast. And the money to buy it came from the estate of Benjamin Talmadge, the man who had recorded Washington's words, which is how we know Washington's final toast.
With a heart full of gratitude and love, I now take leave of you. Huzzah!
Huzzah!
This is Off the Path from WSHU Public Radio. I'm Davis Donovan.
For the latest from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, stream online, download our free app, and of course, tune in right here to the After All Things podcast every weekday evening. Don't forget to check out our brand new merch shop over at WSHU.org. We've got tees, tanks, mugs, and more. Just click on shop up at the top. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk tomorrow.